KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me is
Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right. We are here to rock your geek world like we do every Monday from 7 to 9. And tonight's going to be an excellent show. It's Halloween week.
Woo!
So maybe we'll talk about some Halloween stuff.
Spooky, spooky.
Or we won't. Who
Not
knows?
So spooky, spooky.
You'll just have to tune
Possibly
in.
Possibly spooky.
You'll just have to tune in to see. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get them to stick around.
Tune in to find out what happens next.
Yes. Because we don't know what we're going to be talking about, and neither do you, and it's fun
it's
for everyone.
It's exciting for everybody.
No, we do know what we're going to be talking about. It's going to be good stuff. So what we like to do generally at the start of the show is do some new releases, but before we hit that, Caleb, why don't you tell them how they can be a part of Robots Attack?
That's right. If you're thinking this show sounds pretty awesome already, I want to contribute, you can do that on either...
Boy, howdy.
You can do that on Twitter or Facebook. You go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow. That is our Facebook page. You can leave comments, repost stories. We later on in the news, you'll see links to stuff there. And they will also show up on our Twitter account, which is robotsattackme, all one phrase, after twitter.com with a slash. And then if you want to email us, we are robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And those are the three best ways to get a hold of us while the show is live.
That's right, live.
Live.
All right, speaking of things that will be going live sometime during this week, I'm going to hit some new releases in the theater.
Theatre.
That's right. All right, the first one we have, Nightcrawler. Not to be confused with the X-Men character.
Oh, so see, you could have a Nightcrawler from Unix Circus?
Absolutely nothing to do with that.
No.
Absolutely nothing.
Alan Cumming was not involved. Dang.
No, he was not. But a Jake Gyllenhaal is...
He's still pretty cute.
All right. Lou Bloom, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, a driven young man, desperate for work, discovers the high-speed world of L.A. crime journalism, finding a group of freelance camera crews who film crashes, fires, murder, and other mayhem. Lou muscles into the cutthroat, dangerous realm of night crawling, where each police siren wails equal a possible windfall and victims are converted into dollars and cents.
Dang.
So that's why it's called Nightcrawler.
Mm-hmm.
Again, nothing to do with X-Men, since a good portion of our audience is into the comics and into the movie comic books. I don't want to mislead them and think, all right, Nightcrawler's got his own movie.
Jake Gyllenhaal is the new Nightcrawler.
All right, let's do this.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. This has nothing to do with mutants.
Yeah.
Or teleporting.
Mutants. Or anything that would remotely be an X-Men sort of thing.
Yeah.
So
there
you
go.
Which is unfortunate.
But, well, you don't know. It could be a good movie.
It's true.
So maybe you're thinking, well, maybe you're like Caleb and you wanted it to be a Nightcrawler movie. And, but since you found out now that I just shattered your dreams, you're like, that movie's dead to me. Well, you've got Horns. Based on the novel by Joe Hill, Horns follows Ig Perish, played by Daniel Radcliffe, a.k.a. Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
The number one suspect for the violent rape and murder of his girlfriend.
Ooh, exciting.
Merrin, played by Juno Temple. Hungover from a night of hard drinking, Ig awakens one morning to find horns starting to grow from his own head and soon realizes their power drives people to confess their sins and give in to their most selfish and unspeakable impulses an effective tool in his quest to discover the true circumstances of his late girlfriend's tragedy and for exacting revenge on her killer. Probably not for children.
I'm going to go with no. I think that's a safe
bet. Be confused that the actor who played Harry Potter movies that the kids can go see is starring in this.
Yes.
Probably not for the children.
He's trying to break out.
He's been working on that for a little while now. This one seems like kind of a more along that vein.
Yes. Well, if you're not excited about a dude who gets horns on his head, maybe you're excited for Before I Go to Sleep. A woman, played by Nicole Kidman, wakes up every day with no memory as a result of a traumatic accident in her past. One day, terrifying new truths begin to emerge that make her question everything she thinks she knows about her life, as well as everyone in it, including her doctor, played by Mark Strong, and even her husband, played by Colin Firth.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, we've got a documentary called The Great Invisible. On April 20th, 2010, the Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded in the Gulf of Mexico and killed 11 workers and caused the worst oil spill in American history. The explosion still haunts the lives of those most intimately affected, though the story has long ago faded from the front page. At once a fascinating corporate thriller, a heartbreaking human drama, and a peek inside the walls of the secretive oil industry, The Great Invisible is the first documentary feature to go beyond the media coverage to examine the crisis in depth through the eyes of oil executives, survivors, and Gulf Coast residents who experienced it firsthand and then were left to pick up the pieces while the world moved on. So there you go.
Heavy doc.
Handful of films coming to the theater this week. I think some of them Wednesday, the rest Friday. So there you go.
Something to look forward to. Plan ahead, folks. Alrighty, well.
If you want to.
If you want to. Some other things you might be interested in. If you don't want to feel like going out, you just want to stay because it's getting colder and darker at night. You just want to hang out inside your house and maybe watch some Blu-rays or DVDs. Consider these. Deliver Us from Evil. A New York police officer is struggling with own personal issues, begins investigating a series of disturbing and inexplicable crimes. He joins voices with an unconventional priest schooled in the rituals of exorcism to combat the frightening and demonic possessions that are terrorizing their city. Sounds inspired like, by a real book.
Sounds like some good Halloween themed movies for your Friday.
Indeed, indeed. And if you want something a little bit different, perhaps the Life of Crime on Blu-ray and DVD. Jennifer Aniston stars as the kidnapped wife of a wealthy husband who doesn't want to pay the ransom. In this dark caper comedy, Life of Crimes, adapted from an Elmore Leonard book, The Switch. So, they'll have good dialogue, at least, hopefully. Then, if you're a fan of Zach Braff, you probably are excited.
And who isn't?
I don't know, maybe. Different people, different tastes, you know.
So, you're saying you're not?
I'm just saying there might be people who aren't. Just saying. Out on Blu-ray and DVD this week, or probably tomorrow, is the latest Zach Braff movie called Wish I Was Here, touching Universal's funny and touching Universal story of what it means to be at a major crossroads as a parent, a spouse, and a child all at the same time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated.
Yes. Let's see. There's also Good People. Out on Blu-ray and DVD this week, a young American couple fall into severe debt while renovating a home in London, where they discover that the tenant in the apartment below below them was murdered and left $400,000 in cash stashed in the ceiling. The couple thinks that problems have been solved, but as is to be expected, this is when the bad things begin to happen. And wrapping it up, it's going to be, looks like one of these lovely dramedies. The latest film from John Carney, Being Again, is a soul-stirring comedy about what happens when lost souls meet and make beautiful music together. Features Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo. Keira Knightley's character and Adam Levine are college sweethearts and songwriting partners who decamp for New York. Wait a minute. Love story's gone astray, and Mark Ruffalo plays a radio executive who stumbles upon them and helps them make their big break effectively. So there you go. It's a story of redemption and mutual transformative collaboration. and it's a soundtrack of the summer, supposedly.
Okay. Okay.
In That's the fall.
It came out in the fall. I'm sure it was released in the summer.
Yeah, I remember. I remember going over it in the theater.
Yeah.
Releases.
Okay. If you want to play video games, they are making some of them right now just for you. Go figure. They seem to do that every week. This time around, we have Sunset Overdrive. I'm pretty psyched about this one. Basically, lots of zany action with zany guns and a lot of jumping and running around like you're a skateboarder. Beyond that, we have Freedom Wars coming to PlayStation Vita on Tuesday. It looks like it's going to have a little bit of Monster Hunter design thrown into a more modern/futuristic setting. Lords of the Fallen is coming out on PS4 and Xbox One, and as well as the PC. Let's see. Unfinished Swan is getting a release on the PS4 and the Vita. It was previously released a couple years ago, but has really gotten a lot of acclaim, so it's probably worth checking out if you haven't seen that. WWE 2K15.
Yes.
Yes, finally available on 360 and PS3.
But will you be able to smell what The Rock is cooking?
It looks like they're stepping back in time a little bit more. So,
ooh.
Yeah. So there's Hulk Hogan and whatnot.
Mm. Hulkamania running wild through the streets.
Right.
Yeah, brother. yes.
NBA Live 15 is coming out on Tuesday on Xbox One and PS4. As well as a new Legend of Korra game. The last one didn't get incredibly good reviews, so hopefully this one turns out a little bit better. It's on the 3DS. Also on 3DS, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Danger of the Ooze. It looks like they might have done a really good kind of RPG-ish exploring open world Turtles game.
Sweet.
So, yeah, it sounds like this one has promise.
Yeah, of all of the properties that have been gone from comics to movie to game, the Turtles have survived better than a lot of others.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that are completely and totally sick and tired of them at this point.
Oh, I'm sure.
But still, I mean, it is kind of amazing that it creates consistently at least decent products over and over again in multiple genres. Speaking of the same type of power, I guess. Power Rangers Super Mega Force is coming to the 3DS as well. So if you've been fiending to have some Power Rangers power at your fingertips, 3DS has your back.
Summon your Megazord.
For your fingertips. Yeah.
Something like that.
In the back of your fingertips.
Pterodactyl.
But that's it.
All right. So, from digital media to, well, potentially more digital media, depending on how you consume, there is the wonderful world of comic books. And there is actually a pretty fine selection brought to you by the fine folks at Previews World this week. Aliens, Fire and Stone, number 2. This one is about the... This one's going to follow the crew that was sent out to find out what happened to the ship that... was in the movie Prometheus. So.
Okay.
There you go. This kind of like follows like what another crew following in their footsteps and coming up against all sorts of nastiness.
Okay.
Then over at DC, we'd be remiss if we did not mention Harley Quinn Annual number 1. And once it's, as we kind of mentioned a little while ago, its major feature is that it's a scratch and sniff book.
Oh, this is scratch and sniff book.
Scratch and sniff
book.
All
right, nice.
So, can't leave that one on the shelf. Let's be honest. Over at Marvel, it's All New X-Men number 33. It seems that traversing an alternate universe is a rite of passage for anyone that wants to be an X-Man. So this time it's going to be the All New X-Men, and They're going to be encountering Ultimate Spider-Man, a.k.a. Miles Morales. So we'll see how that goes for them. The fine folks at Image are, well, I should say Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples and the fine folks at Image who helped them produce and publicize the comic. Saga has a new issue this month, and that's really, really good because Saga is awesome. There's a new Transformers book this week, More Than Meets the Eye, number 34. And going to wrap it up with our fine friends at Wow Cool have a couple that they highly recommend. They also recommend a Harley Quinn choice, That's not just us. I think that might be kind of cool. they also think that we should all pick up True Stories number 1 by who's the author? It's an author or artist, Durf Backderf. I'm not sure if that's the actual person's name, but it's possible.
Even if you chose that name. Huh.
Yeah, it's a graphic novel, an independent comic about True Stories about living in New York, effectively. So
maybe it's a secret message if you spell the name backwards or something like that.
Perhaps. And also there's a new Neil Gaiman and Lorenzo Mazzatoi. It's probably Italian. I butchered that. Anyways, they're making a Hansel and Gretel book. So there's that to look forward to as well.
You know what we should do? We should tweet them. Tweet Wow Cool right now. Ask them for any good horror book recommendations for Halloween.
That is a good idea. I will do that.
I've heard. I don't think it's an independent. I'm not sure. It might be DC or Vertigo or something like that. But I think there's one called Witches with a Y.
That is an Image production.
Oh, it's Image. Okay.
Yeah, I mentioned that a week or so ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've heard that one's a pretty good one. So if they know of some good horror ones, you know, since Halloween's this Friday, if people want to grab some non sort of superhero-ish ones. I mean, I know they usually recommend some good independent ones anyway that aren't superhero related, but
exactly
maybe in that genre if they know of. So
yeah,
if they're listening out there, or we can definitely tweet them and then
just tweeted them right
We'll hit the audience up
in
later
a little
on
bit
in the
with,
show.
With the,
so
if they have any recommendations.
I'm going to round us out with the new music. So if you're a Taylor Swift fan, and I know you are, Jason.
Yes.
Who isn't?
Well, she's got a new album this week.
Oh.
No.
She does music?
Really? Yes.
Okay.
And this new album is called 1989.
She's gone back in time.
Back in time. It's with producers and co-writers such as Jack Antonoff, Max Martin, Shellback, Ryan Tedder, Noel Zenzanella. The multi-Grammy winning singer-songwriter goes for an entirely pop album on her fifth full-length studio release. There's also an album from the Twilight Sad, No One Wants to Be Here and No One Wants to Leave.
That sounds sad.
Interesting.
That's quite sad.
The fourth studio release for the Scottish trio was mixed by Peter Caddis. And then we have an album from Ultimate Painting, self-titled Ultimate Painting. Jack Cooper of Mazes and James Horay of Veronica Falls each wrote 5 songs on their debut full-length release together.
Aww.
So there you go. There's a little handful of some music and some handful of some other genres of geekitude and things coming out this week.
Sweet. All right. Our friends at Wall Cool got back to us real quick.
Nice.
We love you guys out there. They have...
we include ladies.
It's the pejorative term.
We love you people.
I apologize for being...
Anyways. I do it, but I just want to clarify. I just want to make sure if someone's listening, it's like, well, they don't know if... And now here I am doing an invitation of an angry lady that I probably shouldn't be doing.
Suffice to say, they got back to us with Bogus Dead. They also got a link to where you can find out more about it on their own website, which is pretty cool too. Oh, that's about zombies. Nice.
Gotta have zombies for Halloween.
Sounds pretty cool for being bogus, actually. Zombies.
It's bogus.
Yeah.
Put them in the Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden. Excellent.
All right. That's going to do it for the new releases. We're going to take a music break, and then we're going to come back with more Robots Attack. The news, of course. Let's tease them some news.
The future of air travel.
Ooh. Whoa.
Elon Musk has a warning for us all about the end of the world.
Whoa, and the future of air travel, or no?
Does it involve... Well, I mean, unrelated, I think.
Oh, okay.
Not completely, though, depending on how you look at it.
Ooh. Maybe.
Ooh, I guess you're just going to have to wait and listen. All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. But first, I want to tell them about some ticket giveaways. If you want free tickets to a concert, KSU has got you covered. Just listen in and you could win. To see which shows we're giving away tickets for, go to ksu.org and click on promotions. We don't generally give away tickets on this show, but there are tons of shows on KSU, and they give tickets away there. So
definitely. Yeah. I know the guy, the show ahead of us, actually, he likes to give away tickets. So,
oh, the one before?
Yeah, right before. Well, the one right before us. So there you go.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to some music. We'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this. San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are in the news. Who has our first news story?
I do. Elon Musk, the, I guess, creator, basically, of Tesla Motors?
Founder.
Founder.
I mean, we can call him the creator.
He's the mastermind behind Tesla Motors.
There you go.
So, arguably, like, one of the big high-tech people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is apparently deathly afraid of robots.
Robots specifically, or is it
in artificial intelligence specifically?
Okay.
But it came kind of out of nowhere. It was at an MIT symposium, and he ended up outright saying that, and I quote, that our biggest existential threat is with artificial intelligence. We're summoning the demon.
Ooh, the demon.
Yeah.
Can't see through the eyes of the demon.
Yeah, he went on to call artificial intelligence potentially more dangerous than nukes.
This is Dread Man, truly Dread.
Right, yeah, and it's... I'm, like, super torn on this personally, and like I'm going to let this become editorial for a second, just because this is like one of those types of stories that I'm so tired of. Like, everything has to be like, oh, the robots will rule the world and conquer everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I'm kind of disappointed to hear that people are making it into reality, kind of.
Yeah. I think part of it's because, like, We've sort of seen a little bit of what big data can look like, and it's leaving a lot of people with kind of a sour taste in their mouth. Not necessarily like turning them off, but it's like certain people are kind of like, I don't know about this.
Yeah.
So I can see where they're coming from, but at the same time, I think if we actually create robots that adhere to something like the three laws of robotics, not that they have to take Isaac Asimov's word for, but something like those ideas, we probably could make robots that are more or less safe.
Yeah.
But
I kind of agree with you. Mm-hmm. But
I guess the real question, I've heard some of them say is like, yeah, making robots that are smart is all fine and good. Just don't make them, give them the ability to replicate. Once they have the ability to replicate, then we're kind of in the soup.
Yeah. Replicate and control like the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things are kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm not really afraid of something that can think, but
mm-hmm.
Oh well. Well, I'm no more afraid of a robot that can think than the average teenager. I'll put it that way. Because teenagers do some fiendish things every once in a while.
They do at that.
It's true. Speaking of fiendish things, Wow Cool also tweeted us again some more recommendations. I've got it up on the thing here. They've got Unknown Origins and Untimely Ends, a collection of unsolved mysteries from Hick and Hawk.
Sounds interesting.
So, you know, just some more possible reads for this week coming up on Halloween if you want to get yourself in the mood.
Exactly.
Nice.
And also, it's a good opportunity to go out and support your local comic book store if you feel so inclined.
That's true. Wow Cool is a cool shop.
Yeah. Let's see. Some things that are also pretty cool is, like I mentioned before, there's a potential future in aircraft which is unseeing but still seeing. I will elucidate. So one of the major issues that aircraft manufacturers face is trying to make the aircraft as efficient as possible while moving an object through a very, 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 very thin liquid, aka air, and making it weigh less is always a good way to save on weight and stuff like that, and also makes the aircraft itself more rigid because they won't be cutting holes every like 6 or 3 or 4 feet in the fuselage.
Mm.
Okay.
So they're,
unless that's how they made it light.
Yeah, but then you got to put the glass and the plexi and the spacers in between and all that other fun stuff.
Okay.
So, but what they're thinking is that if they do the concept as put forward by the Center for Process Innovation. I'm sorry, the Center for Process Innovation, because they're from UK.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Their idea is to make all windowless aircraft, but so that you don't feel like you're flying in a giant metal tube, which you are anyways, but to help alleviate this feeling of being in a giant flying tube.
They're going to put you in a series of tubes.
Kind of. It's sort of tubeception. They're going to put embed projectors along the whole length of the plane and have cameras that point outward. So you will see on the wall a projection of what is outside.
Oh, that's creepy to me. I don't know why.
So we'll be flying through the internet.
That's worse than AI.
Yeah, effectively.
That's going to be the start of the Matrix right there. They're going to just encapsulate people in aircraft. Have them stuck there forever.
They'll never know.
We can see we're traveling. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. Something like that. And also this brings about the opportunity for being able to project information about the flight as you're going along. In-flight entertainment can be displayed along the walls if need be. By moving all of these functions into a single projector as opposed to on the and the little headsets coming out of the ceiling, you might be able to create a new dynamic for the design of the space, which could improve use of space as well as decrease weight. It has to be seen whether this actually will fly or not. But the idea is interesting.
Yeah, it's a cool idea.
So that's something to look forward to potentially as a plane with no windows. In which case, the classic Twilight Zone episode will be very, very strange to some people in the future. Wait, they used to have windows on these things? There's something on the wing. Something on the wing.
On the wing.
Don't you see it?
Now, I know they played the bumper at the beginning of the news. Mm-hmm. Kind of explaining where you can go to participate on the show and stuff like that. But that's, Caleb, let's remind him again.
Yes.
Since we're starting up the news.
Mm-hmm. We're at the beginning of the news, and if you want to see some of the imagery and potentially video that go along with some of the stories we've been talking about, we post the links as we talk about them on Facebook, which is facebook.com/robotsattackshow. And we also post them on Twitter, which is twitter.com/robotsattackme. Both of those will have sort of live links, and you can respond to us there. how we have them open in the background, as evidenced by Wow Cool getting back to us. Thank you again for that. Yeah. And see, you can be cool like Wow Cool by participating with the show.
That's right. And something I always kind of forget to do, I sort of remembered a little now, so I'll do it, but just the two tracks that I played during the music break. The first one was the New Pornographers with Fantasy Fools from the album Brill Bruisers, and that was followed by Lights with the track Running with the Boys, the album Little Machines. Okay, so my story. Now, I know how much of a Rush Hour fan you are, Caleb. I know that you found the first one to be entertaining, but really, the third one was your absolute favorite.
The and Jackie Chan, Chris Rock. Not Chris Rock.
Wow.
Close.
Let's see if he can get this.
Oh, man. I'll have to get back to you on that.
It's an old car brand that failed.
That doesn't narrow it down.
Studebaker?
Yeah. Edsel?
Anyway, it looks like to... Now, you probably want to make some room for Caleb, Jason.
Right.
Because he's going to jump up and start dancing once he hears this news.
Backing away.
All right. It looks like there's going to be a Rush Hour TV adaption heading to CBS.
Nice. Huh.
So...
Starring who?
That's the question.
Okay.
Truly. But it is based on the movie franchise starring Jackie Chan. You were correct there.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to give it one more shot? It is a Chris.
Mm-hmm. And I can see his face. I know, and I do.
You understand the words that come out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Ah! It's killing me. I can't remember off the top. I can't remember right now. Tucker?
There you go.
Wait, I know this.
All right, looks like, according to EW.com, is reporting that the series has found a home at CBS, which has given the project a pilot production commitment. The Rush Hour series hails from Cougar Town co-creator Bill Lawrence and Cougar Town producer/writer Blake McCormick. No surprise, the series will follow the exploits of a stoic, by-the-book Hong Kong police officer who is assigned to a case in Los Angeles and is paired with a, quote, cocky African-American LAPD officer who has no interest in a partner. Lawrence and McCormick will write and executive produce the action comedy along with original director Brett Ratner, Arthur Sarkisian, and Jeff Ingold. So there you go. I know you wanted Rush Hour 4, but this is a TV series.
Yeah, it's something.
That's something. Well, it'll be interesting to see how they adapt it.
And maybe they'll get them to make cameos as probably other characters, but
It's true. That would be pretty funny.
Who knows?
Mm.
Maybe like Jackie Chan could play the uncle or something,
or maybe
father
like
or something of the guy who gets sent, or
sergeant or something, like the sergeant at the police station in Hong Kong or something. I don't know.
It's possible. Who knows? Let us know what you think. Are you excited about a Rush Hour TV show, or excited about flying in a plane that like you don't have to fly in a tube?
But you don't feel like you are. You can see the world around you without having to have a window.
I hope they give you a lot of barf bags.
That's just a general happy thing for me. It's like, yes, extra barf bags.
Extra barf bags.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm going to put some peanuts in this.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Pre-barf?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're good for other things besides just barf. That's really
true.
Just limiting them, and I prefer
I
to
let
them
like to limit
be
things.
Free
Fair
and
enough.
Pursue other options of employment. Or deployment. Anyway.
Segue to that.
Hey.
Well, here's something else that's being deployed.
Hey!
I actually mentioned in a story once before about the entire outcry for a sequel to the Judge Dredd movie that came out, or the Dredd movie about Judge Dredd that came out in 2012. 80 Shanker was creating a miniseries, and it's finally released. So you can access it on YouTube right now. The thing that I hadn't understood from the stuff that was released at that point of time was that it is actually an animated feature.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it doesn't need the original actors as much that way. So that's good. It's a 6-part miniseries created by Spanish writer-directors Enol and Luis Pelayo Ginicera, I think. I apologize if I screwed that up. Anyway, what's also interesting is I think at the time you mentioned something along the lines of, oh, it would be neat having something like this, because it's along the lines of the Punisher short Dirty Laundry.
Right.
It is from the same people who created the Punisher short Dirty Laundry, as well as the Venom short Truth in Journalism. So.
Oh, I didn't know about that one. I have to check that one out.
Yeah.
But interesting. Well, that gives me a lot more hope for it, because like Dirty Laundry was very, very true to the source while still being like distinct and to itself.
And
I appreciate that, and I look forward to seeing what they do with
We
with
salute you.
Dread. Yes. Because that's not Dread, but it is Dread.
Right. It is truly Dread, but not in a dreadful way.
Yes.
But they should get Stallone they could get Armand DeSante, who, you know, played the bad guy in that one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny, like, I didn't even realize it, but because they played brothers, they made Armand DeSante, like, sort of do a Stallone kind of impression.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, so, I hadn't thought about it that way.
So if you go back and watch it, which you really should, because it's...
Oh, it's quality.
Fantastic film.
It's beautiful.
Judge Dredd.
It's something, all right.
I'm the law. But Armand DeSante doing the thing. If I'm a judge, I'm the law. Just compare. Watching Armand DeSante, like a regular Armand DeSante film, I can't think of any at the moment.
Right.
But, and then watch Judge Dredd.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the dueling Armand DeSantes.
True. True.
Oh,
yeah.
Segue from that.
I was thinking they should have a bad guy that has multiple personalities where it switches between Armand DeSante and Sylvester Stallone and Chris Tucker.
Oh, that would
all be the same character.
Quite the switch.
Yeah.
All on Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
Station ID. Nicely done. Let's see. Well, science fiction and science fact are often closely related, or getting closer related as we move along. And
they're like blood brothers.
Practically at this point. But say you wish to explore further on your own time, or have a little guidance as you look out into the cosmos. And perhaps Carl Sagan or... never mind.
Dr. Spock?
No. So you want to enjoy it without being your TV. You want to take a book with you. You might consider The Cosmic Tourist. It's a brand new book that talks about 100
tourism.
Awe-inspiring destinations in the universe. And you might be wondering, like, how do you have a destination in space? We can't get there yet. Well, we do have wonderful Hubble Space Telescope. We have the Chandra X-ray Observatory. We have hundreds of thousands of amazingly powerful ways to examine the universe around us.
It's just like being there.
It's almost like being
Except
there.
Except probably safer.
Considerably safer, because the radiation up there is pretty intense. But this will give you a way to embrace the wonders of the galaxy up to 13 billion light years away. That's B, because there's three commas, so that's a lot of zeros.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying like a level of HD, like 13 billion P. Wow, that's a lot of P.
That is a whole lot. But no, this is light years in distance. The book highlights awesome places to check out in the sky. That's the main thing.
Okay.
Sort of newsy and sciencey and spacey. And I'm sure Judge Dredd's got satellites in it somewhere. They're in space.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Like a satellite attachment for his gun or something.
Yeah.
Did they get Neil deGrasse Tyson or Morgan Freeman to narrate the?
No, it's a print volume.
Oh, they should get them for the
audiobook.
That would be kind of cool.
Or James Earl Jones.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they do anything like that, because it's a very visual book. Lots of photos from different observatories and things like that. So
they should describe the photos. Oh, it would be perfect.
It would be something.
This one has splotches of orange. That's my deGrasse Tyson, since I don't know what he sounds like.
Well, here's someone that we probably don't know what they sound like either, since they're long, long dead.
Oh.
And there were no recording devices so much.
What?
Say,
what's this?
Oh, Shakespeare.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Well, okay.
What's news with Shakespeare?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because...
What's the haps?
This, I'm sure, is just like the Rush Hour television show. This will also be super exciting for you, Caleb. It looks like Mark Harmon, the guy from NCIS, gray-haired guy.
Oh, that guy.
The world's most popular show.
Mm.
Or at least in the U.S. it is.
The world's most popular show in the U.S.
The most popular show that none of us watch.
Exactly. But it has like two spinoffs now. It's basically the new CIS.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Anyway, that guy who I remember from summer school, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Still classic.
No, mm-hmm.
You don't remember that one?
No.
No. The two guys who were like really into Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No.
Okay. Maybe it was just Nick and I that were into that movie. Anyway, it looks like Mark Harmon is producing a CW series about young Shakespeare, and witches are going to be included.
Oh, wow. Huh. Okay.
So, the grit of Game of Thrones, the wit of Shakespeare.
Ha ha.
Oh, wow. I didn't write that as part of the story. I can't take credit for that.
Holy.
So the CW is partnering with NCIS star Mark Harmon in a producing capacity to develop a drama involving a young William Shakespeare and a supernatural plot. The show, which is being called Shakespeare's Sisters, according to The Hollywood Reporter and Latino Review, dropping it again, is set in 1850s London. Young Shakespeare is caught in the middle of a feud between three witches and Queen Elizabeth herself. And the project is said to... here's the thing, the grit of Game of Thrones and the wit and heart of Shakespeare in Love. Scott Sullivan,
his whole heart's
of,
in it this time, huh?
Yeah, not just the wit, but the heart too. Gotta have that heart.
Right.
Looks like Scott Sullivan,
his heart just wasn't in those plays,
just wit, but this they somehow got it from bones and dino DNA and stuff. Just watch Jurassic Park.
Right, they got his grit.
Or read it or something.
Too.
Yeah.
Dino DNA?
There's a true grit with the...
Right.
True grit with
right.
The,
oh,
know,
man.
They got, John Wayne and Jeff Bridges, both grits.
Right, holographic images of them.
Yep, and Tupac's in there too.
Oh, right.
Scott...
Back in the story, man.
Exactly. So Scott Sullivan of NCIS Los Angeles, one of the spinoffs of NCIS, and King and Maxwell will write the script, while Brad Silberling, Jane the Virgin, will executive produce and direct the drama. The CW has found recent success in The Flash. It's a pretty good show.
Yeah.
With almost 6.5 million viewers, beating CW's flagship Vampire Diaries for the top spot. The network, the network has also developed a film adaptation of Neil Berger's The Illusionist.
Huh.
So it looks like they're reaching out to different things, not just vampires and comic books. But yeah, we'll see.
To other literature.
Yes.
With vampirish plot. type things.
They knew, hey, Abraham Lincoln fighting vampires, maybe not so hot, but if we could get Shakespeare fighting witches,
right?
Maybe,
with
wit,
words
and wit
with,
and heart.
Witches with wit.
Yeah, who's got the heart?
Mm-hmm.
Is that's right. What Shakespeare has? So he's with the. Or
does he have the ring?
Heart.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, how's that kid going to be transported through time?
And so he's going to be
become an Englishman.
Right.
The worthless one on the team.
No,
for, like,
he is the key to the entire thing.
Well, it's true. Without him, they can't technically call in Captain Planet. So,
imagine Captain Planet with no heart.
Like, why do we have the car team? Well, technically, we can't call in Captain Planet without him.
Right.
So
it's like Captain Planet without a mullet. It's just pointless. Anyway,
true,
we've completely gone
true.
Off the rails.
Someone segue from that.
So in possible castings of things other than Captain Planet.
He's already been cast by Don Cheadle.
Perfect. Just voiced by, or?
Well, no, there's like a, I don't know if it was on YouTube, but there's a video of Don Cheadle as Captain Planet.
Oh, wow. Okay. I got to see that now. Anyway, derailed again. actors other than Don Cheadle who have been in things and such, include Benedict Cumberbatch,
hi.
Who is, if you have not heard, going to officially be the next Doctor Strange. I'm not sure there was a previous Doctor Strange.
There was names bantied about, but it's now official to be Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix was one.
Right. Mm-hmm. I actually think Joaquin Phoenix could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But Benedict Cumberbatch, I wasn't expecting to be in the running, so
yeah.
I think he would do quite well as well
yeah.
when he's not being a dragon. Mm-hmm. I guess he could technically at some point be a dragon again in this.
Yeah, yeah.
It might take him some time.
Mm-hmm. He would need to focus the powers cosmic to do it.
Right, cosmic energies and
funnel them through the
energetic dragon.
What is the name of that? Amulet again, but anyway,
the amulet of I-ness and dragon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you thought Benedict Cumberbatch was a two-trick pony with Sherlock and Star Trek Into Darkness, well, I guess three-trick pony with the with
Smaug.
Dragon with Smaug. Well, he is now a four-trick pony.
Yeah, pony.
Yes, you heard it here. Benedict Cumberbatch is officially a four-trick pony.
There you go.
So are you happy about this news?
I have no attachment to Doctor Strange whatsoever, and I have a half connection to Cumberbatch because I feel like there's still something missing from the Star Trek Cumberbatch, and I feel like there needs to be more of that. And I feel like Sherlock, it didn't quite hit me right. So, so yeah. Like, I want to root for him because he did, like, an awesome, like, water bucket challenge. But other than
that,
that
was pretty cool. him and, man, I am, like, striking out on names.
Chris
of
Tucker?
No.
Jackie
Loki.
Chan.
Stop it.
Hiddleston.
Yes, Tom Hiddleston did a pretty epic Ice Bucket Challenge set,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And
squaring off.
Mm-hmm.
Evil versus evil, depending on which incarnation of the batch.
The amulet is called the Eye of Agamotto.
That sounds like a dragon name.
It does a bit. So I'm pretty excited about this because it'll be interesting to see because like casting Cumberbatch is going to will sort of like change sort of like the demeanor of Doctor Strange. It puts him kind of like he will carry off that slightly superior air quite nicely.
Okay.
I think, because like the whole thing about the origin is that he was a neurosurgeon who lost the power, who through an accident lost the ability to use his hands to perform surgery, and so he goes to after exhausting medical science, he goes into mystic science, so to speak, mysticism to find a source for.
No, I like mystic science. It's like Miss Pizza, except less edible.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to go with yes on that.
Plus, I mean, Marvel so far has had a pretty decent track record of getting you to like or even care a little bit about characters that you either never heard of or probably never thought you would.
Or a little douchey.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I mean, evidenced by Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Kind of came out of nowhere in terms of like mind share for people that weren't into comic books before the movie came out, and like, they pulled that out off rather nicely.
Yeah. And it just passed Days of Future Past.
Wow.
Like making like money this summer.
Dang.
Nice.
So, and I think it's like third or fourth of the Marvel like biggest ones. So
yeah,
who would have thought?
Yeah. And a team of made of almost no superheroes.
No one's ever heard of is became a really fun movie. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Good on you, Marvel. Yeah. Hopefully you continue this and with Doctor Strange.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And Ant-Man.
Yeah, that'll be another interesting challenge too, Ant-Man. Let's see. Did you?
People can look at clocks and check times. It's
see, I'll do one more thing before we jump in. I found a really interesting thing. There's a guy by the name of Jesse England, and he does kind of unique design experiments. And his most recent experiment is the Sincerity Machine, which is a typewriter that has been completely reset to be Comic Sans. And
what?
Yeah, and I find it really interesting because it's like, you know, the Comic Sans font is despised by most designers, but at the same time, it is sort of a part of like
it's your favorite, isn't it?
Typeset history, and it's just kind of interesting to see like them take like if you were to change the surrounding context of around the font, would it actually improve people's taste for it? And I think it in this case it might, as long as it's, you know, because that's what near as I can tell, the thing that's turned most people off to it is that the fact that the font was abused in terms of its and how it should have been applied to different types of writing. So
do you hold a love for it?
I hold an appreciation for it. I don't mm-hmm. It's not my favorite, but
okay,
I don't despise it. Let me put it that way.
What is your favorite?
Is it in your top 5?
No.
Top 10?
13?
No.
Is it lucky number 13?
No, it is not.
It's not in your top 13?
No.
At all?
No.
What about now?
No.
So if you were making a team of like furious fonts, you know, like in Fast and Furious, getting the gang together, we got to do this job.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So furious fonts, you're not putting... The Comic Sans.
Comic Sans does not make that cut. No,
it's not furious at all.
Man.
No.
Whew, Comic Sans. You got to get Caleb on board.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. So about that PSA.
Okay. The Museum of American Heritage boasts a collection of roughly 5,000 historic electrical and mechanical inventions, yet some artifacts are rarely exhibited. MOA is newest exhibit, Museum of American Heritage A to Z, introduces visitors to the scope and depth of the MOA collection with a variety of unrelated artifacts. This exhibit features artifacts beginning with the letter A, abacus, and continues all the way through the alphabet to items beginning with the letter Z, zapper. Visitors are welcome to identify each letter of the alphabet as they tour this fascinating display of unusual historical innovations. MOA is located at 351 Homer Avenue, Palo Alto, between Bryant and Waverly Streets, in historic Williams House in downtown Palo Alto. Regular exhibit hours are 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, unless otherwise noted. The exhibit runs from now through March 15th, and admission to the gallery is free.
Nice. Free is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so would anyone like to do a story or before we wrap up the news?
No, I think I'm okay. I think I'm all right.
Okay. Want to remind them again before mm-hmm. we get to the music break on...
Before we jump into a music break, if you wish to participate or find out what we've been talking about in more detail, aka pictures or video, when you are safely at a place where you can consume these things, head over to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme and pick up the links there, and you can comment on them, send us feedback on both of those. We would love to hear your thoughts and have your participation in all of this.
That's right. All right. We're going to take a music break and then come back with some geek talk. You're listening to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Would you like to listen to KSCU even when you're not near a radio? You can stream us whenever you want at kscu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
And the pro tip?
You always got to do a search for our call letters, KSCU.
Why is that a pro tip?
Oh, because that's what's truly unique to the station. 103.3 FM is not so unique to... anyone, anywhere. Other than, so that's there's
unless
only
it
one
has a unique place in your heart.
That's true. You might have a special place.
It is unique there.
Might have a special place in your heart. That's just true. But if you want to find the unique identifier for our station, that's KSCU.
That's right. And you just heard The Shrews, the track I Don't Know from the self-titled album The Shrews. And before that was The Fresh and Onlys with Who Let the Devil, and the album House of Spirits, both local artists. All right, so now we are in Geek Talk here on Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 from the Underground Sound. This is where we sit back and just kind of talk about some stuff we've done, watched, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just nothing crazy, or is it crazy?
Oh, what?
Maybe it was crazy.
Perhaps it's a hint at insanity.
Maybe. I did... The last few hours, the last couple hours of this, I did descend into a little bit of madness. But mm-hmm. I'm speaking of Extra Life. It
Extra
happened
Life.
On Saturday. Mm-hmm. If you're unfamiliar, it's the 24-hour gaming session to raise money for children's hospitals. You select anyone you like. Generally, mm-hmm. you pick one that's kind of in your local area. I picked the one in Oakland because that mm-hmm. was the nearest one. And you just play, and they don't have to be video games. They can be tabletop games. Oh. They can be, yeah, it's just pretty much any kind of game.
It's a game. It's just gaming as a genre in general, not
yeah.
specific.
Because oh, it's the idea is just to raise money for the children's hospital, and so, mm-hmm. so this is a try to get you a fun way to do it. And so you can do tabletops, and I know some people, you know, they'll stream that, like.
Mm-hmm.
Might be fun to maybe do sometime, like if you got together and played a role-playing game, D&D, or mm-hmm. you know, Pathfinder or something like that. That might be fun to stream.
Yeah.
And, you know, get people to watch and donate to your page. But I streamed last year that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I streamed off my computer because the Xbox One hadn't released yet.
Yes, and there was not a good, there wasn't a Twitch app for the 360 that could.
Well, there was, but it didn't allow you to broadcast.
Yes.
You could only watch things.
Fair enough.
Even if it, although if it did had come out,
mm-hmm.
you weren't able to broadcast when it released anyway.
True.
The app got updated later on to be able to do that. So, mm-hmm. you know, either way, it wouldn't have worked. But this year, since I did have my Xbox One and you could broadcast from it, that's what I did. And so I had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, you know, thank everybody who donated or watched and participated in everything. I think I ended up raising, I beat my goal by $5.
Awesome.
Raised
nice.
$230. And then the team that I was involved on was Team IGN, which didn't have anyone affiliated, like, officially with IGN. Mm-hmm. They were just fans of various IGN, Podcast Unlocked and Podcast Beyond and all so that forth. Sort of thing.
Okay.
And our team raised, our goal was $10,000. I think at the end, we actually, the team raised $11,000.
Well, right on.
We beat the goal, so that was cool. So it was nice to have both goals beat.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun. Let's see. I started with Fantasia. Music Evolved.
That was really cool to watch, I gotta say.
I wanted to ask because I was curious because I knew okay, this is a game that I'm gonna look like a complete idiot, and was called out as looking like a complete idiot in the comments. Yeah. But I didn't really care. I knew that was gonna happen anyway. If you've seen anything about the game, you know, like, you're gonna kind of look like a fool, but.
It's
that's the nature of any of the motion.
Yeah, most of the motion
anyway.
And I would say a lot of things in life, you look like a fool doing
right.
A lot of really fun things. So
yeah,
right.
Particularly things involving other people in a close proximities together with each other. Mm-hmm. If you really watched it, it looks.
You're talking about dancing, kind of
goofy.
Right?
Yes, dancing, quote unquote dancing. Yes. Dancing. We'll go with that. But anyway, I started with that. Had a ton of fun with that. I really like remixing the songs and it was super fun. But I got called out in the comments that, you know, you look like a fool, blah, blah, blah. And then someone complaining that they were glad that I streamed it so that they didn't buy it because it looked like an idiot. And then they said they like to come home and play games where you just sit back, relax, and, you know, just blow stuff up and things like that. So I'm confused why they thought Fantasia Music Involved would allow you to do that.
Because it's focused on the Kinect, and that's so much about sitting down and kicking back.
I mean, if you know anything about Harmonix or Fantasia Music Involved game, a music game, where in your mind, like, running around as a soldier shooting people, like, where that confusion? I threw it out there, like, that's like going to see Snow White and then complaining that there weren't army men shooting Nazis.
Yeah.
You kind of know what you're getting into. I think it's just the nature of the internet. People complain because they want to complain. Like, it's, I don't like this, so I'm just going to complain more about it. Even though
I was watching the thread at the time, and it looked to me like he had a friend there, and he was trying to look cool for his friend. So.
Yeah. So anyway, I had a blast doing that, looking like a fool, but that was fine. I saw I was raising money for the kids.
I personally thought it looked like a lot of fun. Like,
When
I was watching, I'm like, okay, this, like, you can watch the video of the gameplay. It's like, okay, but then when you see like how you do interact with the game, I think it makes it even that much cooler.
Yeah, it is the nice thing about Twitch, actually seeing the interaction along with the gameplay, seeing how it actually correlates. It did look like a lot of fun.
Yeah. excuse me, I had a good time with that. Then I moved on to playing with Wang. Had a lot of fun with Wang. Now, before you call in and complain that I'm talking about dirty things, I can't remember if it's Lu Wang or Lao Wang or none of those. I know it's Wang, though. But I played Shadow Warrior. It's an update of an old game, like an HD sort of redo, but they threw in some stuff. It's like, it's kind of funny because the guy who complained about Fantasia would have loved Shadow Warrior because that's exactly the game that he was looking for.
Yeah, that was that old, during the era of Doom clones, that was one of the better ones.
Yeah, it's very like old school first person shooter. There's you can aim down the sights and stuff like that, but it's not.
You don't play it for that.
Well, it's not like where most people think of shooters now, like Call of Duty or Battlefield. Mm. Like it's not that kind of style. It's more, if you played the latest Wolfenstein, it's definitely more like that.
Okay,
like,
bit more story driven.
Yeah, but just like the actual mechanics of it and all, it's a lot more like older first person shooters.
Yeah, run around, collect your ammo, find new weapons.
Yeah, but they did add. I've never played the original game, but it has like sort of RPG elements too. I mean, you get stats and you can, you get these tattoos that give you abilities and stuff, and then you can upgrade your weapons.
I remember a little bit about that when it came around the first time.
But yeah, the dialogue is pretty good, and they totally like know, like they play up the whole Wang thing, and they play up like he's into comic books, he's into like kung fu stuff and everything, and
nice.
He has a secret lair under his house, like that's a cave with like a superhero suit that he goes. Like there's a part in it where you essentially get this sort of like demon to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Demon sort of in a loose term. I mean, it's not sort of like your type of like raw scary demon kind of thing, but just that's the spirit. Like
it's more like the Japanese theory concept of a demon, which is just a spirit as opposed to an actual evil entity.
Yeah. So you get him attached to you, and one of the levels is like you're going, and it's like, did you just take us to your house? It's like, yeah, we're at my house. I gotta get my stuff, and like he goes underneath his house, he has a cave like Batman. He's got comic books like lined up in glass cases and everything. And and then he goes and like shaves his head and he's like, what are you doing? We don't have time for this. He's like, didn't you see Kung Fu? Didn't you see, they named off like a couple other movies. It's like, the hero always shaves his head. Like, that's what gives his power. He's a man when he does that. And so you do that and then you put on your superhero suit and then you go and kick some butt. So
save the world.
Yeah. So that was fun, messing around with that and just talking about 2.5 Wang and 4-star Wangs and trying to get higher Wangs and not doing a very good job with Wang and trying to get better with Wang. But, you know, someone just tuning into this is like, what are you talking about?
Shadow Warrior, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So then I moved on from that to what I hoped would have been something a little more interesting, but it didn't turn out as quite as I planned.
Yeah, that was the fighting game.
Yeah, The Fighter Within. I was hoping that would be fun because that one, I could be a complete idiot on that. And that was pretty fun playing. Like I had fun just goofing around, but it didn't live up to kind of what I was hoping for streaming wise.
Yeah, that one needed a little bit more polish than it actually got, I think, in terms of like a functional piece of software.
Yeah.
It was really pretty. I was surprised by that, considering its reviews and so on.
Yeah, I just hoped, like it sounded like some people were having, like the stream wasn't working terribly well. And yeah, it just, I don't know, it didn't plan out as I'd hoped. But
the 80s action anthems were pretty good.
Okay,
I did like that.
That turned out okay.
Yes, that was totally part awesome.
Of, okay, that was what I was hoping that would kind of help it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like, and it was sort of its redeeming factor, and except for the fact that a lot of times I was looking at a still frame. I'm like,
I would really
be enjoying this a lot more if I was seeing what he was doing.
It's funny. It worked so well for me that I was completely confused when you were asking about like whether it was working and so on, because I thought you were talking about the game itself or something. Because everything was working absolutely perfect for me.
And that sort of ties into the next game that I played, Fibbage, where I tried to get like
that one wasn't working for you. I don't know what sort of weird black magic they work with that game in order to have it function over the internet, but yeah, it didn't like me at all, because it would let me log in to like try and play the game, and then would proceed to not let me answer anything.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, one thing I did notice is like you have to compensate for the delay in the stream, where like really you need to watch your phone for when you're, and it says pick. You pick right then.
Yeah.
You don't wait for it to show up on screen.
The very first game that we played, it mostly functioned, and that was just a matter of getting used to that.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it was just like I finally felt like I got a grip on it. It was like, okay, I'm ready now. And that's when it wouldn't let me play.
Oh, man.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept trying it over and over again, but
And that was the reason too why I left the party.
Oh, okay.
Because talking was going through the party and the stream, but since there's that delay, that's why I think your wife had mentioned, like, I'm hearing you like in real time, but then I'm also hearing it like delayed. So it's like, since I wanted it to help kind of the stream also, and just like for just the Twitch streaming,
right.
I left the party that way.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because like I checked in at different times and I caught the Shadow Warrior or...
Yeah.
I caught that, and it was pretty clear to me by the timing on like answering questions and so on, and seeing how the video feed was patched in, that it was I don't know, like a 30-second gap or something like that, like it's a really long gap.
It's 15-20 seconds, yeah.
Then when I got to Fibbage, it was only like a 2 or 3 second gap, and was like, oh, okay, well that's good that it's working that much cleaner and faster, but apparently the other like internet gods were not working in my favor at least.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it seems like it does kind of depend on the game a little bit too, like maybe since Fibbage isn't so much a resource machine, maybe that kind of helps a little bit, but yeah, I thought since it only advertised that you needed a phone smartphone or tablet, but apparently you can use a computer too, because that's what Kane was using. He's like, it's like, yeah, I'm using my computer, because someone else asked like, oh, do I need, can I just use a computer? And Kane's like, one of my other friends for the audience who doesn't know what I'm talking about, Kane, he said, yeah, I'm using my computer. So
basically, as long as you have a browser, a modern browser, it probably works just fine.
Yeah
So it's a web page basically.
So we did that, and
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Met Bathman, who donated,
which
was awesome, and nice. Turned out is from Australia Xbox on Australia.
Good on you.
So that was really cool. And then finished the evening going back into Shadow Warrior. Well, we did a little bit of plans.
We attempted to do some Plants vs. Zombies.
I guess we all technically did a little bit of Plants vs. Zombies, just not
separately.
Together. Yeah.
That was quite the experience.
So yeah, a little bit of that, and then finished it back with Shadow Warrior, and then like the last two sort of hours. So I started about 10 a.m. Saturday, and then finished 10 a.m. Sunday. Mm-hmm. And like those last couple hours, it was like, like just sort of fighting, because there wasn't anyone to like communicate with, because Kane had already left. And so it was just like anyone that maybe like asked a random question in the stream, or if not, I was just like, three-star Wang, need to get better Wang, like just doing anything just to stay like focused, and like, okay, and then finally when it was done, it's like, oh yes, finished, blah blah blah. And then I got like sort of a second win back. It was like, should I go to sleep, or what should I do? And then it's like, okay, well, I'll just lay down for a minute. And then like five minutes later, I like fell.
Crashed.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I hope to do it again next year. And yeah, thanks again for everyone who watched and donated and all that jazz. And but Ellis. So on the other end, when it worked, it seemed fine.
Yeah, like, when it was working really well, near as I could tell. Like the stuff about like watching you play Fantasia was really cool. Fibbage, once you kind of got your brain used to the working around the delay, it worked just fine. As long as the internet gods shined upon your browser. I enjoyed myself thoroughly watching the stuff. I feel like I missed out though, not watching you play Shadow Warrior, because like I remember like what little of that game I played, like there was so much, like it was like kind of early stages meta humor about the whole affair, self-referential, self-aware storytelling. I thought, I'm like, dang, I would have liked to have seen you guys like go on and on about that. That would have been fun. Oh, well.
Yeah, it was a good time. I do definitely got to give a shout out to Kane. He stuck with me for quite a bit, and that helped, like, having someone to converse with. And also, like, I made him a moderator for my room. So not that anything happened, thankfully, but just in case. So I don't have, like, trying to do everything of, like, hey, here's my donation page and play and this. You know, it's like.
Especially with the motion gaming stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, it's doing something like this is almost a team effort. Like, you really should have, like, one or two other people that help, Kane did. Like, Kane stepped up and, like, helped you out, like, I guess. And I suspect that some of the quote-unquote better organized teams have something kind of like that, where they have, like, someone, like, kind of watching in the chat room, someone watching actually playing, and then they probably can, like, shift through and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, like, the bigger groups, the more popular people have stuff like that. So it generally makes their channels a little more watched than just your average Joe like myself doing it. But yeah, I hopefully can do it again next year, and we'll try to, like, take suggestions and think of ways to make it an interesting stream. Cause that's kind of the main thing. It's like, I want it to be fun for people watching.
Yeah.
You know, just like, hey, there's that guy just playing, like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see if next year I can keep my schedule clear so we can maybe, like, help team up or something like that. That'd be fun.
That would be cool. Speaking of things that are cool, San Jose Animal Advocates. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes by living in time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org. Or look for them on Facebook. All right, let's go into...
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
That's right, we're down in the core now. And something that... It's been kind of a soapbox issue for me... if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know, I've talked about this a little bit, but I'm going to kind of dip my toe into the Gamergate thing and kind of, because, like, I was trying to unpack, you know, what Gamergate was. I think I misspoke about it earlier. But it's, I saw a tweet about, you know, kind of like examining what Gamergate was and how the search algorithms and stuff were responding to it, like what, why and how, and sort of what it was. So the, at its bare bones basic, Gamergate started as a hashtag campaign on social media. And it was an outgrowth of a legitimate concern about the interplay of ethics, the gaming industry, and the game reviewers. Particularly, it came out of a specific story. Zoe Quinn designed a game, and it got some decent press, being an indie game, independent developer, and all that other good stuff. Sometime later, a former boyfriend attacked her in a blog post, saying that she had committed unethical acts with a reviewer in order to get a better review. And I definitely agree that we should be discussing ethics in gaming journalism, just like we should just be discussing ethics in any form of journalism, because it's supposed, if you're going to be touting your story or your thoughts as something resembling impartial, or at the very least your very own voice, you should be having your own voice about it, and it shouldn't be ideally not affected by things like extra revenue or let's go with personal favors. When this story broke, that brought up a lot of people's ire about, like, oh, so people can just commit to personal favors and get better press. And it's, first of all, we really shouldn't be dealing with with Miss Quinn's personal life. That's none of our bleeping business. Mm. And but it does bring up the issue of like of how do we deal with ethics in journalism, and especially with women in journalism, because a lot of them are, especially in gaming journalism, have been sort of forced into very uncomfortable positions. Some of them have recently had to actually leave their homes because of threats of personal violence against them.
Well, so, I mean, this has kind of grown and evolved, though, right? I mean, from the story you mentioned.
Yeah, like, right. The story is just the seed, and then it's become this other thing as it's grown on.
Because now there's stuff like where it's more about like the game, like stuff in games in general, like
a lot of it's also about the treatment of individuals, and also how games can be used as activist voices. Like some people are using it to, like, looking at games as ways to deal with things like depression, things like, you know, senses of abandonment, or, you know, more psychological, philosophical quandaries. And there's other people that think games should just be games. And so there's like that. Well, there's that aspect of the conversation. And
I guess it depends on how you are looking at and how you define what Gamergate is. Because people...
It's an octopus, that's for sure.
Well, okay. Because technically, Gamergate, the hashtag, is just the watchdog group, but they are populated by some very questionable people who have done really evil things. So it ends up being a question of itself. Like, okay, who do you think this should be? But the fact is, it's now synonymous with really evil stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that on one side. And then you have on the other side all of the people that these fairly evil people have been attacking and the things that they've been attacking them for.
And with.
Right. And so that ends up being effectively being called Gamergate also, even though it's not technically Gamergate. So there needs to be, like, a ton of extra terms.
Disambiguation of this.
But at the same time, it's this huge thing that, in my view, we're fueling these hate mongers by giving them all of this attention. Mm-hmm. And it would be a lot better for us to honestly kind of shut up about it in a lot of ways and make it clear that doing anything bad to women in any industry is horrible.
It is not acceptable.
Right.
No matter who you are or where you are.
But I've been hearing the argument lately, and it's been resonating with me a lot more also, is that should be a given no matter what anyway. That should be like, well, have you breathed air today?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I think yes. I've breathed some air. So it's nice to have that as a separate thing other than Gamergate.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about all of the women in gaming stuff, don't make it anything to do with the Gamergate stuff. Make it your own thing, and the people that have been attacked, that's how they started, and it was just their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so keep doing that. Just don't hashtag anything Gamergate anymore.
Don't mix your terms here.
Right, because it ends up making you part of this octopus that should just be, like, shut in the closet, to be honest.
Yeah, because I think that's kind of the confusing thing, is like, well, wait, what is this addressing? Because it's like what you mentioned, both, Caleb, yeah. But then, you know, the stuff that I've heard more about is kind of the stuff you're referring to, Jason.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's like, wait, what is, What is it?
It's a riddle wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a quandary, wrapped in a what the heck is it, it, you literally fall down the rabbit hole when you start trying to like unpack what Gamergate is. Like the Wikipedia article is pretty in depth, and there's several other articles that people have written about unpacking kind of what it means sociologically. But the and I kind of liked someone brought up one of XKCD's comics about how to, you know, deal with people that are being sort of toxic to your community, which is to gently escort them out of your community. He's all, with Twitter and Facebook, you don't really have that option because it's sort of the open platform.
Right.
Everybody gets to stand on stage and yell.
Yeah, it's like you can,
and a lot of people are very angry at Twitter and Facebook right now for allowing this stuff on there, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the correct place to channel your anger either.
Yeah, I do the one thing that I have heard that makes a little bit of sense is like maybe they should come up, tweak their algorithms a bit so it's easier to turn down the noise and get more signal. But the amount of signal to noise ratio with hashtag Gamergate is so disproportionate that it's hard to get any sort of usefulness out of that anymore.
Yeah, the one thing that I do think needs a lot more attention is it seems like in a lot of the individual cases where women have been threatened, the local authorities have jumped right on it and been very helpful, but mm-hmm. they don't have the reach that they need in order to do anything really. And it feels weird to suggest using something like the FBI, but they're the only ones that can actually fix these problems. And it seems like there needs to be some part of the FBI or some other organization that is devoted to stuff like this a little bit more.
Some sort of national cyber crime kind of thing?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what it would be or what would end up becoming Big Brother like way too quickly, but that's been a reoccurring theme in a lot of these stories is that they don't really have a good person to turn to. Mm-hmm. The local authorities really want to help, but
mm-hmm. there's mixed stories about both of the on both sides of that, and I would like to believe that there is people that are, you know, in law enforcement that are genuinely concerned about this, and I'm sure there is.
I'm just hoping it's like a super secret thing that they're going to take them all down at once, and they're going to splash their page and faces all over the headlines, and at which point it'll probably be like really sad because it's probably a bunch of really angry, nasty little kids. But
yeah, and I guess that's the part of the other issue is that a lot of people that it seems like are involved in the more vitriolic discussion, for lack of a better phrase, or just vitriolic outpouring. There we go. Don't seem to have the emotional intelligence or experience to really understand the impact of what they are doing. Like I think another side effect of this is that the quote unquote gaming community isn't one community. There is about like there are hundreds and hundreds of like sub communities that fit under this umbrella of gaming. Like there's the FPS players, there's the, you know, the MOBA players. There is some crossover amongst like different genres and stuff like that, but like the people that have different strong opinions about different things tend not to stereotype, but they are going to be drawn to certain types of gaming that are not always open to other people, like in terms of like their.
Every one of those groups are going to have their trolls, and every one mm-hmm. of those groups is going to have their Nazi trolls.
Yeah. And it is difficult because you can't like cut them all off, because if you cut them all off, then you're effectively.
You made more trolls.
Yeah. Then if everyone's a troll, then everyone's a problem, and that's its own problem. Yeah. So it's like. It's an unfortunate situation that has no real good solution, either technological or societal, just yet.
Yeah, because there's no real, like, accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's the thing for me, because it is illegal to do these things. They need a way to enforce the legal stuff.
And people at Google and Facebook have both tried to make their systems more accountable by, you know, requiring the real name scenarios and stuff like that, which has been met with mixed results.
Yeah.
And
it's hard because you hear, like, I remember there was a story about, I think there was a kid streaming on Twitch, mm-hmm. and something happened where, like, the SWAT came into his house and, like, arrested him.
That's happened a few times.
Like,
yeah.
So it's like, it seems like when something messes up, that gets a bunch of publicity of like,
right? Because because nobody is going to say right off the bat exactly what that kid did, if anything, either. I mean, it's very possible that he was one of these, psychos.
I think there's been instances where it's like it wasn't like it was a mistake or something.
People have done it as a trolling activity. They actually had a term for a brief period of time called swatting, where they would call the SWAT team on some random person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's lovely. One, really expensive for the city, and two, just a really horrible thing to do to a person, because like all of a sudden, like you've mobilized a paramilitary force against an individual that has no need for a paramilitary force to be brought against them, and that's
right.
Yeah.
And very likely, if they had a dog, the dog is now non-existent in those cases too, which is not good.
Yeah.
The main thing is that, we should try to. The one thing I would like to out of all of this to happen is that for all of us, for people to understand, or we get an inkling of understanding of how much emotional intelligence it takes to be a responsible person in society. You know, not even like a responsible gamer, just a human being in a society with other human beings. Like it just learn how to respond in a way that isn't always vitriolic. Like there's a place for being angry. There's a place for being incensed about something or other, but there are ways of going about it that aren't vicious or painful or hurtful to other people. Yeah, that's the one thing I really hope that people start to see through all of this.
For those people teetering on the edge of Nazi troll, keep that sort of message in mind. And the people who are already in it, they're probably going to be the same forever, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't know. I like to believe there's hope for all of them as well. Maybe someone can reach them some way, somehow.
I'm ready to write them off.
I guess at the very least, I guess maybe on a positive note, I'm sure, as I said, the internet, it's sort of, this new frontier kind of thing. I mean, I think when accountability or something along those lines, it does get figured out and things kind of start to click into place, I see some positives down the road for it. I mean, it's not like, it's like, well, you make laws that like, you're not allowed to rob or steal, all these things, but people still do it. I mean, there's always going to be those Nazi trolls, they're going to be there forever.
Criminal activity is not irrespective of how many laws
that's
you
never going to go away. But if we can figure out just how to make it a better place, hopefully once something's going to happen. I'm hoping it's not a bad thing, but the way like America usually does stuff, it takes a really horrible thing for us to start thinking about doing something good. It's kind of sad, but it's like,
it's kind of a common thread our country does.
Yeah. So, hopefully something
like in the whole like, theft and collusion and monopolistic anti-competitive behavior, like all of this stuff, like it has laws and people still break them, but there's a system for dealing with that. As of yet, the internet has no system for dealing with that other than to ban them or to, mute them. But that doesn't, banning them and muting them doesn't really solve the problem, unfortunately. It just creates an undercurrent of weird underneath the structure. And I'm not saying that that's...
There's some good ideas out there that haven't been implemented in a lot of these different social networks. And one of the easiest ones that I've heard is make it so if somebody has been banned a couple of times, make it so that IP address isn't allowed to make another account, at least for another month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really simple one to keep people from... just keep rotating new accounts where they keep attacking and keep getting banned and over and over and over again. At least it would knock them out that way.
At least it would
force them to like go to a library and do their hate in public where somebody else can pick on them.
Yeah. And if you can slow down the amount of trolling, it does help just make, you know, when you, the more resistance you can put into it, the less likely someone is to do it.
Yeah, the harder you make something,
mm-hmm.
the ones that are like super intense about it will probably find a way. But if you make it harder for the rest that are kind of the notches below them,
the casual, so to speak,
yeah, maybe you can filter out some
Nazi
of that.
Troll.
Yeah,
well, there's people.
You can filter out some of that, and that's a good first step.
Yeah.
So.
It's honestly enough not unlike password protection of user data in banking systems and stuff like that. You make it that little bit extra harder, a little bit of inconvenience for a much harder problem for the attacker to crack, and you have a much safer system.
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing. It's convenience. It's so easy to just type a bunch of crap on the internet anymore.
Yeah.
And like there's no, so if you can make it a little more difficult, maybe you can prevent some of that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we don't have all the answers, but
no, we have all the answers here at Robots Attack
on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
In order to learn all the answers, stay tuned
for
future
next week.
Episodes.
Where we
the
have
next
all
thrilling
the
adventures
of Gamergate.
We'll start with other things and work our way up to that one.
Yeah.
Just be patient.
Yeah. We've been tasked with solving climate change and global warming, so we're trying to figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going in order of precedence. We're sorry. We'll do our best.
Right.
There's only three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes four.
After that, we're working on hatred and anger.
But if you want us to work on something else, Caleb, how can they?
If you wish to
plus,
put it...
and let us know your thoughts on Gamergate.
Yeah,
hashtag #GamerGate.
Right.
Your feelings about
the surrounding environment of GamerGate.
Yeah. If you wish to give us your feedback, we would love to hear it. You can do it at facebook.com/robotsattackshow or at twitter.com/robotsattackme, or you can do it old school style at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you just want one place to get all of your Robots Attack, one place to get all of the connections in and out of our social scene, you can go to robotsattack.me. That is our own website. We post show notes there along with archived episodes, and it has links, like I said, to all of the other social media connections as well.
That's right. All right. That's going to do it for Robots Attack. We'll be back next Monday from 7 to 9. Have a wonderful week. Have a safe and exciting Halloween.
Yes.
I'm hoping that our Halloween plans are...
safe and exciting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully more exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also safe.
Safe, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be safe out there, everyone. It's good stuff.
Safe is good, but it's not exciting. It is.
Hey, there's
generally
always
not
a little bit of risk involved, but you know.
But yeah, so all right, that's gonna do it for Robots Attack. Have a good one, everybody.
Raccoon, Verona, Mixto.